Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we continue to read from the 7th canto, chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text 45. And we already did something of the purport. Because it was very long, we'll do 2 days in the same. Yavandrikoyaratam atmavasubhakupam.
Yavandrikoyaratam atmavasubhakupam.
Date garista charana chanaya nishatam.
Date garista charana chanaya nishatam.
Jnana simma chutta balo dadat asta shastru.
Jnana simma chutta balo dadat asta shastru.
Svananda tushta upashanti idam vijaya.
Svananda tushta upashanti idam vijaya.
Yavat.
Yavat.
As long as.
As long as.
Nikaya.
Nikaya.
This human form of body.
This human form of body.
Ratam.
Ratam.
Consider to be a chariot.
Consider to be a chariot.
Atmavasa.
Atmavasa.
Dependent upon one's own control.
Dependent upon one's own control.
Upakalpam.
Upakalpam.
In which there are many other subordinate parts.
In which there are many other subordinate parts.
Date.
Date.
One possesses.
One possesses.
Garista charana.
Garista charana.
The lotus feet of the superiors.
The lotus feet of the superiors.
Namely, the spiritual master and his predecessors.
Namely, the spiritual master and his predecessors.
Archanaya.
Archanaya.
By serving.
By serving.
Nishatam.
Nishatam.
Sharpened.
Sharpened.
Gyanasim.
Gyanasim.
The sword or weapon of knowledge.
The sword or weapon of knowledge.
Achyuttabala.
Achyuttabala.
By the transcendental strength of Krishna.
By the transcendental strength of Krishna.
Dara.
Dara.
Holding.
Holding.
Astashatru.
Astashatru.
Until the enemy is defeated.
Until the enemy is defeated.
Swanandatushta.
Swanandatushta.
Being fully self-satisfied.
Being fully self-satisfied.
By transcendental bliss.
By transcendental bliss.
Upashanta.
Upashanta.
The consciousness being cleansed.
The consciousness being cleansed.
Of all material contamination.
Of all material contamination.
Idam.
Idam.
This body.
This body.
Vijaya.
Vijaya.
One should give up.
One should give up.
Translation. As long as one is to accept a material body, which is with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. So we're continuing our readings of the purport. The perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendentally situated. Brahma-bhuta. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18.15.4, Brahma-bhuta-prasana-prana-sushati-nakangsati-sama-sarvisu-bhuta-sumar-bhakti-nabhate-param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He's equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state, he attained pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge, as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must attain the platform of bhakti. Bhaktyamam avijanati yamanyastrasvitatvataha tatumam tatatugyatva visati tatanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. 18, Bhagavad Gita 18:55. Unless one has attained the stage of devotional service and the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, there is a possibility that one may fall down and again accept the material body. Therefore, Krishna stresses in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma sami divyam evam yuvati tattvada chaktadiyam punarjanma naitimamiti sarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The word tattvada, meaning in reality, is very important. Tato mam tattvato gyatva. Unless one understands Krishna in truth by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up his material body. And as it is said, Aruya Krichena param param tata patanti adudritta yushma amgrahaya. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, one cannot become free from the material clutches simply by knowledge, even if one attains the stage of Brahmapadam, merging in Brahma. Without bhakti, he is prone to fall down. One must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again into material bondage. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti from which one is sure not to fall. Then one is free from the activities of the material world. In summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with a bona fide spiritual master coming in the parampara of Krishna consciousness, for by his mercy and instructions one is able to get strength from Krishna. Thus one engages in devotional service and attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Vishnu. Okay. Purport continues and I'll pick it up later. So in the earlier part of the purport, we have discussed the achyuta bala, and the infallible strength which comes from Krishna. And this infallible strength, based on the anujasina, on that raising that sword of transcendental knowledge and using the infallible strength to do so. Then one could cross over the ocean of nescience. Here it is said the perfection of jnana is at least to come to the Brahma-Buddha state. Of course, Vaishnavas will always see the Brahma-Buddha state in relation to devotional service. Brahma-Buddha, or the platform where we realize Brahman, the all-pervading spiritual energy that is actually behind everything. Nothing exists without that spiritual energy. Once the poet Allen Ginsberg wanted to start a debate with Srila Prabhupada, and he said, in many religions in the world, there is an issue with idolatry, with worshipping the Lord in a form made by some material element, either carved in stone, cast in metal. Because how can that stone, which is limited and material, represent the unlimited Supreme Spirit? How is this possible? And so Allen Ginsberg was getting ready for a serious debate, and he had sort of contemplated the question before. And Prabhupada simply said, matter doesn't exist. So, and that finished off the whole thing, because to think that stone is actually matter is really a wrong conception in one sense. Everything is spirit, because Brahman Patistaham. Everything is resting on Brahman, Sarva Kalam, Sarva Brahma Kalam Vidu. So the entire universe, the entire material cosmic manifestation is resting on this Brahman. Sarva Kalavidam Brahma. So this Brahman is the, or Brahman energy, is really what we're dealing with. But now, manifesting in different forms, in different shapes, in different varieties. Possible. Although this Brahman is spirit, and therefore part of Krishna's internal potency, of the antaranta shakti of Krishna, it's nonetheless shakti. The impersonalist will say, Brahman is the Supreme Lord. How can Brahman change? But Brahman can change because Brahman is the Shakti, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. It's an energy of Krishna, and energies can change. Thus, Brahman changes in so many varieties. A self-realized devotee, however, sees behind everything Brahman. Just like the Gayatri Mantra, the first Gayatri Mantra which Brahmanas are chanting is basically indicating that behind everything is the Supreme Lord. That's the idea. Whatever we see, a devotee sees behind it the spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord. Of course, we take it even one step further. We do not just see the energy of the Lord, we also see the Lord Himself, who put that energy into its place, and who is there as a person, maneuvering everything. We see there is Krishna, and everything is going on by His divine plan, and yet He is peacefully absorbed in playing His transcendental flute. So therefore, Brahma-Bhuta is not enough for a devotee, and we see that Prabhupada immediately quotes, as soon as Brahma-Bhuta comes up, he goes to the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma-Bhuta prasanat manasarasutina kangsati, samasarvisa-bhuta sumat-bhaktin-dabhate-param, and immediately connects devotional service. As soon as one realizes we're not this body, we actually don't have a real relationship with matter, with this material energy, with the temporary manifestation of Krishna's energy, which may rest on Brahman, but now it's a temporary manifestation. We have no actual relationship with any of the molecules in our body any more than the molecules in the stone and all these kinds of things. That's not enough. Right? Immediately then comes the question of, alright, we know what we are not. Right? But then what are we actually? You know, it's not only about what you're not. It's not only about what you're not eating. Sorry, you know, we're not eating this, we're not eating that. Okay, you know, we're talking about, I mean, are we going to eat something? Yeah, at the end of the day, it's not about we're not eating this, we're not eating that. Okay, we're not. You know, no. So in that way, we're not matter. We are ultimately, everything is Brahman. Fine, nice to know. Therefore, that has good consequences. Then we don't need to worry about all the suffering related to that matter, because it's actually, it has actually nothing to do with it. So that way we become prasanatma. We become fully satisfied. No longer disturbed, no longer upadruta. Opposite of this, prasanatma is upadruta. Prasanatma means like completely satisfied, always satisfied, and upadruta means always disturbed. Yeah. So in Kali Yuga, the living beings are described as upadruta, that is our position. Upadruta. So that is our condition now, always disturbed. But prasanatma is just another state of consciousness where one is always satisfied. Everything is blissful. So, but that kind of blissfulness is nothing in comparison to the happiness of bhakti. It is mokshalabhutakrit. It is lightweight. Lagu means light. Lightweight benefit. Lagutakrit. Lightweight benefit. Actually, moksha labhutakrit. This impersonal liberation is only a light benefit. It is not substantial. It doesn't carry the real weight of real happiness, because it's only relief. okay, you know, if you've had just 2 weeks of toothache and it's your first day pain-free, I mean, you know, you're the whole day, I'm pain-free, 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 you know. But you can't live a life based on pain-free, you know. Wow, you know, you're pain-free, okay. It's again negative, you know. No pain, okay, no pain, fine, you know. There was no pain, good. And then, was there anything positive? No, that was it, that was the positive. No suffering. So this kind of approach is incomplete. How about embracing the nectar? How about exploring the ecstasy? How about discovering the unlimited, the adventure of discovering the unlimited happiness? Mm. Okay, got some goodies, yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Okay, where are the goodies? We want goodies, we want goodies, goodies. That's the spirit. So in this way we see Bhagavad Gita makes it complete. Therefore, how do we summarize Bhagavad Gita in like just a few words? Say, okay, you have a few words, you know. Can you just in one sentence, you know, present the message of the Bhagavad Gita, please? It's hard to say something. But basically, we can take it that Bhagavad Gita makes two main points. One is this Brahma-Bhuta point, the point that we are not the body, the point we are eternal spirit soul. So that's point one. We are not this body, we are eternal spirit soul. Second point, we are the eternal servant of Krishna. These are the two main points in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, that's sort of in one sentence sums it up. And exactly this verse is summarizing that. In this verse, Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatmana Sojatina Kamaksati. When you're at that Brahma-Bhuta stage, you're completely satisfied within yourself, no more hankering, no more lamenting. Good? Not good enough. Then, Samasarvasa Bhutisu Man Bhaktim Bhavate. Then comes devotional service. This is our point. Then comes the positive activity. When we're free, yeah. Or when the shoes are too tight, right? And it's impossible to even walk on them. You're completely crippled. The tight shoes of material existence. You know, all right, you take those shoes off. Oh, what a relief. My feet are so heavy. But then what's next? It's not just, okay, it's good enough to take your shoes off. Now dance. Now dance. That's what your feet are meant for. Your feet are meant to dance. Yeah. On those shoes, you couldn't even walk. So, that analogy would say, material life is like not being able to walk on the path of happiness. Taking off the shoes is taking off the narrow, tight shoes, taking off the suffering of material identification, and then starting to dance in spiritual life. So these are the steps. Yeah. And such bhakti, Srila Prabhupada also quotes the next verse, that such bhakti is attained from bhakti only, that it is ultimately depending on the mercy of the devotees. Who are the caretakers of bhakti. Bhakti has been given to Krishna, to the Vaishnavas, in their care. That is the situation. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasya vidu. If we are speaking about transcendental knowledge of devotional service, or basically devotional service coming down in parampara, it means that devotional service is given to the devotees. It's just like you want to cook for Krishna and there is some older devotee, no, and you want to make puris and you have been making puris your whole life, you know, since you were 3 years old. And then this devotee says, no, not like that. No.
I have made puris my whole life. I am from Jagannath Puri.
You know, and it's like that. Very nice. Okay? Very nice. But the truth of the matter is, yes, that there is a way to make puris for Krishna. There is a way to do things for Krishna. And everything comes to the knowledge of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas are retaining this knowledge. Knowledge from scripture and also knowledge about quality of service. The acharyas are establishing. Like Srila Prabhupada established standards of cleanliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Which was not his saying, by the way. You know, it was a slogan from his time. But still, Prabhupada established this point. That this is a fact, this is important. This must be maintained. And of course, the Guru Vastakam in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also is pointing out the spiritual master is taking great pleasure in Mandira Marjanado, in cleansing of the temple. So these are, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally cleansed the temple. And then we see that Prabhupada sort of made a point about that. So in that way we are, it comes in parampara. And then there are the experts, you know, who will show us how it's done and maintain the standards and learned it from someone. Just like when I came to Vrindavan, Prabhupada had trained a group of devotees, and then they trained me. You know, and yes, you must do it like this. Prabhupada said it must be done like this. Prabhupada said it must be done like that. Prabhupada said it must be done like that. So there were many things coming in parampara, not exactly from scripture, but from practical instructions. This is how Prabhupada wanted it. No, not like that, like that. Yeah. And many of those things one hears from senior devotees like that. Yeah. So this art of pleasing Krishna is the art that is preserved by the Vaishnava. Tarka pratista shuttya vibhina nasa virishimuliyana vinam dhanasya tattva nihitam guhayam mahajanyenikatasapanta. One cannot find everything in the scriptures. And there are many sages, they all have different opinions about what they read. The real truth and meaning of the scriptures is hidden in the hearts of the devotees. And therefore, Mahajana Yena Vitasapanta, one must follow the path of the Mahajans. Now, there are many Mahajans, many great devotees, but you know, some of the Mahajans are particularly listed. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kapilo, Kumara Kapilo, Manu. Pradadu Janako Bhishmo Balir Vyasati Vayam. These are the 12 Mahajans. So the 12 Mahajans are very prominent in the scriptures, very prominent in Bhagavatam, and very prominent in all the Puranas. These 12 Mahajans are like great authorities. They are part of great discussions and on transcendental knowledge. Therefore, especially, we're looking at Prahlad, right? Such an authority, at Vyas, at Swayambhu, the self-born, or Lord Brahma, born, appeared on a lotus, Shambhu, Lord Shiva. So these are like some of the authorities, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishmo, Ali, Vyasaki is the son of Vyas, Sukadev Goswami. So, in this way. But then, of course, those who come in the cyclic succession from them, those who have heard from them, they're also Mahajans, because it's The same thing, the same message, no change. Therefore, on the appearance day of the spiritual master, Vyasa Puja. The puja is to Vyas. Okay. Because it's the same knowledge of Vyas. So in this way, the devotees, bhaktyamam avijanati yavam nischasvita prataha, as Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in the purport. Bhakti, it is coming from bhakti, and the devotees are the caretakers of bhakti, and therefore bhakti comes from the bhaktas. We depend on the devotees to give us devotional service. It's not like, yes, I will take some devotional service. Yes, I will take this to this bhakti. I will do it. No, it must be given. It is given by the Bhakti. We can start ourselves, but it is given. It is given. Because then we receive proper instruction how to do it. Prabhupada many times speaks about you cannot just, if you have some disease, buy some medicine and doctor yourself. I sometimes tell how in Vrindavan, when I lived there in the late 70s, and we had a book, we had a dispensary for medical matters, and we had a book called Where There Is No Doctor. It was a big book, and obviously, it was a very popular book. And it was really good, I mean, the pages were well turned, You could see lots of people that checked it. And in that book, all the symptoms of all the diseases were described. And you could just read it, and see like, fever, yep, I have fever. Sweaty, yep, got that. Totally dehydrated, yes. Then you have typhoid. Oh my God, I have typhoid. I have typhoid. And then I read the next page, malaria. Shivers, yes, I also have that. Oh my God, I have a cross of typhoid and malaria. And then, next page you can read cholera. Jeez, I have that as well. it was a real good book, the kind of book everyone loves to read, and the more you read it, the more diseases you have. It's really good. So it's tough, to just doctor ourselves. Ultimately, need a doctor. Prabhupada points that out. So it is the devotee. It is the devotee. How do we get devotional service from the devotee? From the devotee. And not only once. Okay, got it. Thank you, devotee. Now I got it. Okay, I can do with it whatever I want. No. We continue to get it from the devotees. More and more. Oh no, but I am Brahmana now. Yeah, it's a long time actually. No, serious. Oh gosh, I can't even remember when I got it so long ago. Yes, I have, yes. Of course there are, if you get sophisticated Brahmana, then Brahmachari, three-string thread, if you get Grihastha, six-string thread, Vanaprastha, nine-string thread, and Sannyasi, 12-string thread, something like a 12-string guitar. It's like, it gives extra prestige. If you play guitar, there's always people looking at your fingers, how well you can play. But if you play 12-string guitars, it's like, 12-string guitars. Yeah, that's extra prestige. So 12-string thread, Wrap all that around your ear, that's a whole package there. A huge knot on your ear. Anyway. Yeah, so all these things may be there. Prestige that is derived from our position in devotional service. But this is not the way to improve the quality of our service. Prabhupada at one point said, now let's boil down the milk. For a long time, the focus had been on let's take over the world, let's spread Krishna consciousness, let's make devotees, let's preach, let's distribute books, and all these things. And one day Prabhupada said, and now let's boil the milk. Boil the milk. Ooh, that sounds like hard work. Yeah, boiling milk. It's a little one. So, referring to now, let us look at, let us do some introspection for a change, and let us improve the quality of our own performance in devotional service. That is an ongoing process, and that every Vaishnava must take upon himself. I must improve. And one must take steps to improve. And it's not just an automatic upwards process. No, it's something like going to Badrinath. I don't know if you ever went to Badrinath by car, but it's like, you sort of come to Haridwar and then it goes up to Rishikesh, and then steadily going up. You're a bit up when you come to Rishikesh, and then from Rishikesh it goes more up, it starts curving and it's just like really mountainous, and you're up. And then you're up, and then you go over the hill, and you go down again, and then you go up again, and down, and up, and down, and up, and down. So, but after a while you notice that gradually, although you're going up and down, that gradually you come to a greater height. Because the Himalayas are very big, it's not just like, go climb the mountains. It's a whole plateau that gradually goes up, and so, but you go up in a wave motion. So spiritual life is like that. Sometimes we go up and we're doing really well. I chanted such nice rounds yesterday. It was just amazing. It was so ecstatic. Just wait a while. Just wait a while. It will come, that morning, oh, not today, yes. All right. It just doesn't want, right? Krishna. Like that. Struggle. From being in ecstasy back to struggle, and back to ecstasy, back to struggle, but then still gradually it gets better over time. But it's not that we just, it's an upward motion forever, and it's just, advanced, more advanced, and tomorrow I'll still be more advanced, ecstatic today, and tomorrow more ecstatic, and next day, next week, can you imagine how ecstatic I'm going to be? It's like, ecstasy knows no bounds. No, it's not like that. Gradually, it is a Srada Rati Bhaktira Anukramishyati. Anukramishyati. Anukram means that one must follow a stepwise process, step by step, and putting the right steps into place. That is the process. What is the purpose? It is said, Smartavyam satatam vishnu vismartavyo na jata sitsa vidini seyu shu iti ur eva kinkaram. The purpose of all the regulative principles or of all the right steps that we are supposed to take is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And what is this remembering of Krishna? That's here in the purport. Janma karma same divyam evam yuviti tatvada chakta deyam guna jamam naiti bameti sorojana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjuna. Such a long purport, I mean, it's like, it's the second day I'm speaking all this purport and just can't get to the end of it. It's just, it's like 4.5 pages. So, Srila Prabhupada continues. The word tattvata, meaning in reality, is very important. Tato mam tattvato gyatva. Unless one understands Krishna in truth by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give of his material body. For example, in Vrindavan, there's an ashram next door and they chant a mantra which begins with Nitai Gaur, and there are other names of Radhasham and so on, many names are in there. And they're chanting, you know, Nitai Gaur, Nitai Gaur. And, but unfortunately, in that line, they do not have a proper understanding of the tattva of Nitai and of Gaur. They think that Gaur is Krishna and that Nitai is Radharani. Ooh. You know, you can chant a lot, right? Nitai, Gaur. But it's not, and it's, you get benefit. You get benefit, but not completely if the tattva is not there. See? So, tattva is important, obviously, that we understand who Krishna is. What is the transcendental nature of his appearance? But Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam, he doesn't appear just in one form, he appears in unlimited forms. So then you have to know the transcendental nature of all these forms. A lot to know. Mm-hmm. Then you have to read the Bhagavatam. Okay, where do we get that book? It's not a book, it's many books. Gotta read them all. Ooh. Every day. I'll try. Try means you're basically telling me I will not do it. If you say I try, I will try, it translates I will not do it. You see the point? I will try means I will not do it. So that answer is not good enough. I will try. Okay, let's get serious about reading this book. As it is said, Aruya Krichena Padam Padam Tata Padam Tyanaditya Yusvat Angrahaya. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, one cannot become free from the material clutches simply by knowledge. So, knowledge of Brahman, that is, knowing that you're not matter, that you're not this body. Not enough. You can know you're not the body. But if you don't serve Krishna, it's not enough. Patam tyanaditya to use what I'm right. We're not taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Patam tyanaditya. Again, we'll fall down. We must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again to material bondage. Svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato vayat. It is described as mahato vayat. The most dangerous type of fear. Huh? Oh God, I'm afraid to die. Yeah, but that's one thing. But that happens only once. Right? You're afraid to die. Okay, that's it. You know. Okay, finished. You know. Too late. Anyway, the misery song. Don't cry so quickly. Have the chips. Yes. Now, so the other thing is that if you fall down in material bondage, that means life after life after life after life after death after death after death after death after death after death. So therefore devotees are, the greatest fear is not the fear of death, but the fear of material bondage. That's the point. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti from which one is sure not to fall. Okay, if we don't make offenses. and if we don't neglect our sadhana. Because we saw this Bharat Maharaj, he fell. He was a devotee, he fell. But this deer plopped into the water just right under his nose, he pulled it out somehow or other, and then, but the mother died. So then what to do, you know? Then he had a little deer, and had to take care of the little deer, and you know, nice and fluffy and everything, and before you know it, no more sadhana. So although he was mentioned in Bhagavatam, at the stage of bhava, he still fell down due to neglect. So we can see neglect of sadhana, even at an advanced stage, can be disastrous and offenses to Vaishnavas. It is said that one, by Vaishnava aparad, one can just from the Uttama Adhikari go down to the Madhyam platform or to the Kanista platform. We can just go down, be degraded like that. And even from Kanista platform one can again become a materialist. Yeah. Once I said to Bhurijan, you know, like somehow or other, I always had, at an early stage of spiritual life, I had an interest in sannyas. It was even before I came to Krishna consciousness that I had been thinking about sannyas. I'd read books about Indian sadhus, and I thought about that, giving up the world and all these things, and I tried it a bit, you know. But then somehow or other I wound up as a grihastha anyway, and then so one day I said to Bhujan, somehow or other I always had this inclination to its sannyas. I don't know why I somehow or other wound up in as a grihastha. And then he said, it must be due to previous offenses. And I never thought of it, not that I meant to, you know, be like negative about marriage. I phrased it very carefully, so I didn't say marriage is a wrong thing, but it said like I was more addressing the contradiction in my personality, that, and how it was, it happened, you know, that like still I acted contradictory to my personality. Due to offenses, you become covered over. That was his point. One becomes covered over and acts then, and then gets entangled again in the material energy in so many ways. Due to offenses. So that's interesting. So fall down is a also scriptures warn about Jositam Sanghi Sangam. Jositam Sanghi Sangam is referring that a devotee should be careful to associate closely with those who are attached to illicit sex. You know what I mean? You can be friends, like, you know, with some materialistic people, but if we develop friendship with people who are attached to illicit sex, that is very dangerous. That's warned against. Could be a cause leading to fall down. So we've identified a few causes now. We've identified neglect of sadhana. We've identified offenses. We've identified association with those who are attached to illicit sex as some of the causes that can lead to fall down. So Srila Prabhupada. And here we see that, like, lack of taking shelter of devotional service, another cause of fall down, impersonalism, and the lack of taking shelter of devotional service. Therefore, our saving grace is devotional service, somehow or other, for Krishna, something. Can I do something for Krishna? Anything. man. Some service. Can I do some service? Yes. Anytime. All right. We're flying through the purport. But I think I'll finish it tomorrow. No problem. So are there any questions? Any comments?
Yesterday also you mentioned that this disturbance is even there at the mouth level.
Okay, disturbance, yes. I gave a reference from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where it states that even in Bhava there is still a sense of suffering, a sense of obstacle, and only in prema can one see the whole world as the mercy of Krishna and as perfect. Yeah? So gradually it diminishes. It is said that in the earlier stages, in Anartha Navritti, up to Anartha Navritti, so from early Shraddha, Sarvasrama, Anartha Navritti, the material influence is very, very strong, and the bhakti is limited and localized, very localized, very small. Our area of bhakti is very strong, very small, and maya is very big. And then gradually, the area of bhakti is growing, like an island growing bigger, and the influence of maya is going further away. Yeah. If we compare it to an ocean with an island in the ocean, in the beginning, there was this ship, you know, of maya coming very close to your little island, and, you know, the sailor girls or boys are waving at the rails, you know, at the railings of the ship. Very close, very nearby. And we stand on our little island of bhakti. Then, as one gets more advanced, one comes to Nista. In Nista, the influence of maya is at some distance, about 3/4 to the horizon. So it's like that. At Ashakti, and at this next comes taste. Taste begins to cover the surface of our consciousness. At Ashakti, that taste goes deep under the consciousness. And then at Ashakti, the material influence, maya, is a speck on the horizon. The ship is now on the horizon. Just a little speck. It's like, you know, not really so prominent anymore. And at Bhava, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, at Bhava, maya is like a shadow. It's like a shadow. So it's virtually speaking not there, but still on the mind. Somewhere on the mind. And the reason is, it is said, is due to previous Vaishnava aparat. That's why there's still traces of the material influence as a shadow in the consciousness. And then in praying, no trace of material influence in the consciousness. Like that. Anyone else? That was Madhurya Kadambi. Vishnu Chakravarti. Anyone else?
Prabhuji, when you were explaining something about Brahma Bhut, you said something about food choices.
About food choices?
Yes. So, on the spiritual path that Krishna consciousness tells, what would you comment on animal agriculture and extracting dairy products from industrialized business,
kind of capital. Food choices, mine was only an analogy, you know, by the way, I didn't address the topic of food choice, but I said, just like when we say, I don't eat this, I don't eat that, that's not enough, because you can say, I don't eat this, I don't eat that, but you'll still be hungry, right? So it's not enough to just say, Brahman, you know, everything is Brahman, I'm not affected by all these things. No, one has to do something positive. That's the bhakti. So that was my point, actually. Now, you're bringing in the vegan-vegetarian kind of issue. Well, for some it's very complex, for others it's very simple. It depends where you put what you give the most weight. You know, the situation is this. There are cows that are being kept in like factory-like conditions, that are being exploited, and eventually killed also. So it's a very brutal system, and so those who are vegan are getting very much into the ethics of that element, you know, the suffering of the cow and the ethics of being part of that. If you buy milk, you're part, you're supporting the suffering of the cow. So they put the weight there into the... We all agree, of course, that that's a terrible situation the cow is in. Now, lacto-vegetarians, they take milk as well. So the vegans point the finger at the lacto-vegetarians these days and are holier than thou and are saying, how can you drink milk? You are supporting cow killing. Now, there are vegans, vegetarians, and a third category. And the third category are following the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita says, yagya sista sino sante muchante sarvakilbisai, that one should eat yagya sista only remnant of food which has been offered in sacrifice, and nothing else. Otherwise, you eat only sin. So Bhagavad Gita, one must be, or Prabhupada sometimes called it prasadarian, right? One must be prasadarian. So we have now vegetarian, vegan, and prasadarian. And that's going on next door. The prasadarians are here. You know what I mean? Karma-free and all that, right? So, conclusion. Don't jump the gun. Conclusion. Is that when milk is offered to Krishna, that cow who is suffering terribly and who is mistreated and so on, that cow gets eternal benefit. So now that's a great benefit because it happens to be eternal. So anything eternal is sort of great. So when the milk of the cow is offered, that is beneficial for the cow eternally. So now it depends where you put your what is important for the individual. Yeah. For devotees, they will appreciate that the eternal benefit is all that really is important. That temporary benefit is actually, or temporary, even temporary distress, is secondary. So therefore, from a devotee point of view, based on Srimad Bhagavatam, milk must be taken and offered to Krishna. And those poor cows at least we'll get some benefit. released, and is eternal, can't be taken away from them, even although those poor cows are being mistreated so much. Because that doesn't mean that we shouldn't start to develop our own farm projects. But, you know, that takes time. We have a few farms, but it's hard in the modern times. It's against the trend of the world. Yeah? People are moving to the cities. In the year 2000, 33% of the world lived in the cities. Now, 60%. So, everyone's moving to the cities. Yeah. So, veganism is not bringing a solution. It's not really bringing a solution. And Bhagavatam is emphasizing that human beings need milk and need to protect cows. Right? So ultimately, it has to go into that. The milk should be taken. Srila Prabhupada stressed it, made an important point. And we should start to develop more and more cow protection. And we need devotees who to take it up, to sponsor it, to adopt cows, to make it possible, to start charitable organizations, to collect funds for cow protection. So often a matter of money. You know, it's expensive. You know, we're struggling to keep head above water. You know what I mean? So what to do? We wish we had the money to buy all the cows and to maintain them.
So the problem is industrialization. That's what you're saying.
The problem is obviously beginning with why you want to do a reductionist type of logic. I didn't say that the problem is industrialization. I gave a more complex explanation. So I summarize my explanation is one package. You can't reduce it to a smaller statement.
So it's necessary.
It's to take the whole package.
Does it come under
the
category of necessary evil?
It comes, we're living in a world of madness. We're living in a world of insanity. You're a vegetarian, right?
And I'm lacto-vegetarian. But
good. No,
I
okay,
feel
good.
Guilty about these things.
Right.
I can see what is happening all around me.
Good. Well, I'm trying to point out there's something more important. But let's say we only talk about vegetables now. I will, there's these nice spray cans, which I saw here in the ashram the other day, called Mortein. You know this stuff, Mortein? They're spray cans that sort of send the cockroaches to another domain, you know? And so I'm going to invite you for lunch. Don't worry, there will be not any milk, you know, only veggies, and I'll put on the table salt and pepper and a spray can of Mortein, just, you know, in case you want to add something, yeah? So, what do you think about if I put a spray can of Mortein on the table? Is that a good idea? You can spray it on your veggies if you want to.
Maybe that attracts
insects
or...
No, it kills them. Yeah. No, it's insane if I put poison on the table next to the pepper and salt. It's totally insane. I mean, you should have said, Maharaj, that's insane, you know, but you're polite, you know. Anyway, I would have said, no, that's completely normal. But you're right, actually. No, it's insane. I should not have put it on the table because why bother? It's already pre-sprayed. It's already pre-sprayed. So the madness is everywhere. We're living, you know, it is Nunam. Nunam Indriya Pritya, what is it now called? Nunam Pramate. Nunam Pramate Indriya Pritya Apni Nanoti. The whole world is Pramate. The whole world is mad. Just mad for sense gratification and do any damn thing. We're living in an insane asylum. Maureen, would you like a cup of poison, please? You know, coffee, right? You know, it's like, okay, here you go. Glass boxes for smokers. I mean, the world is mad. So I call it not a necessary evil. I call it the madness of the world that we find ourselves in, and we're trying to slowly carve some sanity out of this. Prabhupada said, life is like hardwood, and we must try to carve Krishna out of it. It's hard. If you can feel guilty, all right, you know, do something to help the cows. I guess when you feel guilty, it means you should do something to help the cows. Adopt a cow.
So that's why I asked this question in a forum like this, because we promote lacto-vegetarianism.
Because I explained it to you, but you didn't get it. Because I said, we offer to Krishna, we must give the cow eternal benefit.
Yes, but that...
That is the most important, there's no but. That's all that stays. One day, my friend, this temple will not be here anymore. One day, my friend, Sydney will not be here anymore. One day, my friend, the ocean will dry up. One day, my friend, this planet will not be here anymore. But the benefit that that cow got from offering that milk will still be there. What should we do now? The suffering is terrible from the cow. I can't do anything about it. I don't have the money to buy all the cows. I don't have the military power to kill all the cow killers. I cannot grab the government. They're not going to vote for me. Yeah. So what to do? I can't do anything about that for now. But at least I can offer them milk.
I think on it.
Good. Thank you so much. See you, Prabhupada.
Yeah.